this morning with the third message in our series of Living in an Upside Down World. And this is taken from, my message today will be taken from John chapter 17, beginning with verse 6, and we're going to look at two or three verses here real quick. Hallelujah. There's such an awesome presence, Brandon. Amen. Hallelujah. I like what Sister North said about the Holy Ghost. How many know what ghost is? That's the spirit of the departed one. So who's a Holy Ghost? That's the spirit of Jesus. Amen. And he promises to come back. He's here in his spirit, but he's coming back for his bride. Amen. All right, so here is Jesus praying now. He's praying to the Heavenly Father. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. And down to verse 14 and 15. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. For a little while this morning, I want us to look at how we are to navigate in our modern world, especially from this day going forward. As most of us are aware, many in the world today have now labeled this as a post-Christian world. Of course, that is just a nice label that reveals to us the world that we are currently that we currently live in here in the U.S. of A., and is far different than the one many of us grew up in. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It really is different than the one our parents and our grandparents experienced years ago. We know we don't leave the car unlocked or the house unlocked even when are there this day and time. And we've got to be careful even who's wanting a ride. You don't just pick up anybody anymore, sadly. That's the case. And even those who walk up to you in the Walmart parking lot wanting a handout. How many know you got to be careful?
Yes.
Got to have discernment there. And we have to know that what we would call our present cultural norms are no longer based on Judeo-Christian principles and ideas that championed, if you please, the American culture from the 1930s or all the way up to the 1980s and in the 1990s. Isn't it sad that it's easier to read the Bible and pray in Jesus' name in our prisons than in our children's schools?
That's right.
You know, I think it's kind of late by then, but thank God they can do that in the prison. Yet we know and serve a great God who does wonders. And many of us here were raised under this Judeo-Christian norms, and we raised our families under these norms, and they fashioned our philosophies of life, the way we look at the world and the way that we interacted with others. Yet today, you have to understand that our cultural norms are changing. Our culture is beginning to be more pluralistic, meaning a system of thought that recognizes more than just one guiding principle. And more people are being convinced that there are no absolutes. There are no overarching guidelines, and that pretty much we are left then up to ourselves to figure out what is right or wrong. That's a terrible place to be at. Truth and morals are seen as relative, meaning you can define them however you want to in various ways. Each person doing what is right in their own eyes. That's what the Bible says. So yes, we live in a mixed up age. An age in which millions of people are struggling with their own identity, their own self-identity, and their gender identity, and their gender expressions. I read this very week that the new policy in the New York school system, of course, coming out of New York, we can understand, they said that the teachers, they cannot discriminate or they cannot penalize a student if they ask them a question about their academics on a subject and the student goes, meow, because they've identified themselves as a cat. So the teacher cannot do anything about it. They almost have to say, well, thank you, and they go on to the next student. And what is something is so many of the teachers that have poured their heart into their calling for so many years said, enough is enough. I'm out of here. And that's how our world has become, how bad it has become. And sadly, there are millions of people who are struggling to identify with anything, such as family or morality or religion or race. We also live in a progressing immoral age. Day after day, we can see where Netflix and Amazon Prime and other media outlets are putting out more movies and shows that test the limits of what was once called common sense morality. It seems like the days, and I've said this before, it seems like the days of Mayberry and I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver and The Little Rascals. Anybody remember any of those? I, in fact, like Mr. Ed, the talking horse. And how about Francis, the talking mule? I love the one about that Francis goes and joins the army. Oh, my gosh. And the whole story is about this lieutenant who thinks this mule talks, and it talks to him. So he gets thrown in the jail for thinking those things, you know, gets thrown in the crazy place, you know, where they said that the mule is talking to him. So all of those things they're gone forever, it seems. And now shows that are beyond raunchy in neighbor or in nature are easily accessible for the adults and for teens and even for children now on their iPads and their iPhones. And we all know this because this is the day, that is the world that we face each day as we go to work and as we go shopping or out for an evening of fun. It's a world that our grandchildren and our children face. And yes, it's a world where even the F word no longer takes anyone by surprise, but is a part of the common speech spoken from the schoolyard to the workplace. I love what Brother Gary does when he hears that going on. Those kids know that he don't put up with that. I mean, he'll pull over and stop the school bus. Tell them they better sit still and sit quiet or we're not going anywhere. And sadly, the boss says, well, so well, what happened? Well, he said this. And this, and it's like it doesn't, you know, that's no big deal, you know. It could be worse. No. Brother Gary, you're doing the right thing, brother. So how are we who believe in Christ and believe in the lifestyle of holiness, how are we supposed to then navigate through a world such as this? Are we to find ways to check out and go hide away someplace? Are we to fade away into the background just waiting for Christ to return or waiting even for our own flatline, if you please? How do we successfully live in a culture that is going in a completely different direction? How do we not only live an abundant life then in the midst of our present culture, but at the same time be a change agent for God's kingdom? How do we become a powerful witness then for God in this age? Thankfully for us, we have God's Spirit to empower us and to strengthen us and give us the wisdom and the grace to live in such a world. Can you say amen? I believe that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Ghost, is and will be the only one then who can assist us as individuals and families and as the body of Christ to not only then be successfully navigate this age, but be a key ingredient in bringing about a revival to our land and to our circle of influence as well. And thankfully for us, the Holy Spirit impressed on the hearts of individuals thousands of years ago to write down then in their faith journeys that we can read and study and apply them to our lives. And yes, Daniel was one of those. Now, I've been camped out for some time on the life of Daniel in the Bible. And if you want to understand how you can effectively live in today's change in culture, then I would suggest you read and you study carefully the book of Daniel, especially the first six chapters. And if you were raised in church then, as I was, then you learned about Daniel and the lion's den at an early age. And if you already know all about Daniel and his life, then I pray that the Holy Ghost will quicken something new in you or bring something back to your memory concerning his life. Understand one more time that Daniel and his friends found themselves living in a world that was radically different than the one they grew up in back in the land of Israel. They found themselves in a world in which the very fabric of society, faith, and morality was vastly different. They grew up in a world that believed in the God of creation, the only God that exists and one that had made them into His very own image. They grew up believing that they should reflect God's glory, just like we talked about today, praising Him for who He is. And honoring Him through loving one another and being a good steward of His earth. This morning, I want us just to see how, again, Daniel and his friends navigated in this strange land that they found themselves in. So, number one, they did not let other people label them or define them. They did not let other people's labels define them. When Israel fell into the hands of the Babylonians, everything changed for Daniel and his friends. They lost their land, their homes, their place of worship, and their way of life. And all they had then was their belief in the one true God of creation, each other, and then something called hope. It didn't take long for Babylon to try to begin to mold these young men into their own image. It started with them being given new names. Daniel means God is my judge. And so in captivity, he was given the name Belshazzar, meaning Bel protect the king, and Bel was a Babylonian god. And that is what the Babylonians wanted to name him. But that is not what Daniel, not exactly what Daniel wrote down. He changes some of the letters so that those reading them would understand that while the Babylonians called them the other names, they would not adopt those names among themselves. They retained their Hebrew names. For example, Daniel's name was supposed to be Belshazzar, But Daniel writes it down as Belteshazzar, which means Bel does not protect the king. This was Daniel's way and the way the Jews had in making sure not to give honor to any pagan god. And today we live in a topsy-turvy world that is doing its best to put wrong labels on those who truly believe in the Bible and who believe in holiness and believe in truth. Labels such as self-righteous and fanatic and hypocrite and homophobe and hate mongers. And those are just the mild labels that we can say here in the church. And none of this should take us by surprise. Why? Because Jesus warned us that this would happen. Here's what he said. You can find it in Mark 13. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Notice he did not say, well, maybe you will be hated. What did he say? No, you will be hated. And the Bible is clear then that the spirit of the world will hate us. And yes, Satan hates us, and he wants nothing more than for us to acquiesce to the world's appetites and desires. So what should we do? Well, I think we should do what Daniel and his friends did. They did not let the labels that others wanted to put on them destroy either their own image or their self-identity or their faith. Listen to me clearly now. Just because someone puts a label on you does not mean that you are that label. Millions of people have been called stupid and dumb and lazy and no good and a million other things, but that does not really mean anything. Listen, just because someone calls you a negative name or labels you as being something negative does not mean that you are that negative name or you are that negative person. What you have to do then is override those and take the labels that the Lord God Almighty has given you. Words like masterpiece and anointed and approved and redeemed and saved and sanctified and delivered and favored and accepted and holy and pure and qualified. He does not call us perfect. Why? Because none of us are perfect. But he does call us pure. We can be pure. And he chooses to work through pure vessels. That's why every time I get ready to come up here, I'm standing right there and under my breath I'm praying, God, please, please forgive me. If there's anything before I come up on that platform, cleanse my heart. And that is what Daniel and his friends did. They did not accept the labels that the Babylonians put on them. Instead, they retained their God-given names, and they kept their faith, and they kept their belief in one another. Today, understand that we need to lift up our youth, and we need to lift up our children more than ever before in our prayer and in our support. This morning, let's determine not to allow the world to label us. The only one who can truly label us is Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and calls us his bride and calls us his chosen one and calls us his friend. So again, they did not let other people's labels define them. And number two, they decided to live by God's rules and live by His principles and His values. Not only did the Babylonians want these young men to adopt new labels, new ways of thinking about themselves, but they also wanted them to adopt a whole new way of living. The diet that is spoken of in the book of Daniel is often only looked at as only having to deal with food. Yet we need to understand that it was much, much more than just food. The food aspect was only a fraction of what was going on at that time. The food aspect is to be seen then as a latch key towards their whole way of life, their philosophy of life, and how they would live out their lives. The Babylonians wanted these young men to develop not just a new food diet, but a whole new life diet, meaning how they thought and how they valued things and how they spoke and how they dealt with life in general. The Babylonians not only wanted to change their holiness diet, but their holiness lifestyle. And so for a Jewish person, how they eat is how they live. Food is what provides them with substance, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally and socially. Food is seen as a gift from the Lord God Almighty. Food is supernatural. Food is given to us not just because we earn it from the sweat of our brow, but because the God of creation provides it for us to teach us to rest and dependence, and teaches us how to share and how to worship, and it teaches us enjoyment, and teaches us about life. Ancient scholars tell us that the meat that is mentioned in the story of Daniel was meat that had been given over to one of the pagan gods of the Babylonians. Therefore, then, to Daniel and his friends, if they partook of that meat, they would be saying that the pagan god was responsible for their health and their wisdom. And that was something that Daniel and his friends were not willing to say, even if it cost them their life. They would not eat something that had been dedicated to a false god. They would not accept something that in accepting it, they would have to say that they owed a false god their livelihood or their life. These young men were determined that while it was true that the Babylonians owned the clothes they wore, the buildings that they would live in, and even the food and water that they would consume, they would never own their souls. Their souls were given to the Lord. They knew the cost, and so they were willing then to live out the commitment, and if need be, they would give their life for God. Are we that committed to the Lord God? In fact, we see in a few chapters that both Daniel and his three friends were put to the test. The three into the fiery furnace, and Daniel into the lion's den. All four were tested on their loyalty and on their commitment. All four were given life or death sentences in which God not only stayed, but brought about a miracle for them and for His people. And so it's important here then to see that these four young men did not shy away, and they did not go and hide themselves. They did not run away or refuse to be engaged with their world. You see, they understood that it was possible to live in the world but not be of the world. They understood that for this time God had appointed them to live in Babylon, and that God had appointed them to be right where they were under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. And sadly, for many in the church world today, and those in the so-called holiness movement, have been tempted at times then to create their own safe havens. It's the Christian's oasis where they can come together and on Sundays and Wednesdays and then do their best to never interact with the people of the world, where they make sure that they're now on holy ground as much as possible and make sure that they keep others on the outside that might somehow pollute them. Understand with me, something is wrong with that picture. Something is very wrong with that kind of thinking. Jesus does not tell us that we should hide out in the desert or go away somewhere. He does not tell us to go and bury our heads and bury our lives and our mission in the ground. But Jesus reminds us that He came to save the world, to live among the world, and to rescue the world. And He couldn't do that unless He purposely spent time with people like the woman at the well, or spent time with a person named Zacchaeus, and with those whom the Pharisees and others labeled sinners. And one of the biggest problems with a modern day church is it doesn't have enough sinners in it. It doesn't make sure that along with all its saints that the doors are open wide then for everyone else. It doesn't do what is necessary to make room for those who may not know Jesus, and who may not even like Jesus, or look like Him, or smell like Him, or feel like Jesus, to feel welcomed, accepted, and needed. Listen to me closely. If the true church, the true body of Christ, is to continue to exist, then we must open our hearts and the doors to everyone so that we can share the message of redemption. And yes, this body at New Life does that. We open our doors. We have to be active then in bringing people to the Lord so that their hearts can be rescued and that their lives can be transformed, and so that they can experience what it means to live an abundant life right here on this earth at this time. We can never say, well, you know, they are that kind of people. We just don't want them around there, around here. Pastor, they're going to corrupt our children. They're going to corrupt our grandchildren if we let them come in here. Heaven help us if we think that way, and how sad to hear folks say that. And yes, there are folks that says that are living right here in this community. And if we don't have them here, I can guarantee you that somewhere they will be influencing our children and our grandchildren. Therefore, isn't it time then we get them on our turf so we can influence them and share the message of Christ with them, and even go out to their turf, Brother Tony, and share the message of God's love and His saving power on their turf. Here then is what our prayer ought to be, especially with us here at New Life. Lord Jesus, put them in our path. Use us, Lord, in whatever way you need to help people come to you. Help us to transform a crazy world for the better. And help us in these last days to be faithful, both in living a holy life and in telling others about you, so they'll be able to live a holy life. So we see that, number one, they did not let other people's labels define them. And number two, they decided to live by God's rules and His principles and His values. And then finally, number three, they believed that God would make them the best that they could be. These four young men were not going to accept the world's labels. They were going to live by God's principles and His values. And they believed that God would make them the very best that they would be. These young men possessed an Abrahamic mindset. Why? Because God told Abraham that He would bless him and his offspring beyond measure. He would take Abraham and create in him and through him a person, a family, a nation that would bring blessing and honor to the whole world. And these four young men knew that they were part of Abraham, and therefore they were a part of being a people blessed by God Almighty. The ancient Jews believed that the wisdom of the whole world belonged to God, the true God, Yahweh, the God of creation. They believed those who therefore served God, worshiped God, and lived for God would be the best ones to understand that wisdom and receive that wisdom and then live out a life in and through that wisdom that comes only from above. These four young men could look back over their history and see that happening in the lives of men and women like Joseph and Moses and Deborah and even for a time King Solomon. The Bible tells us that with one touch the Lord took Joseph from the depths of a prison floor to the office of prime minister. It was said that Joseph had the mind and the wisdom of a god, but not the wisdom of a false god, but the wisdom and the insight and the knowledge given to him by the one true God of the universe. So from Joseph and Moses and others, you can go and read the stories then of their lives, of which the Bible testifies repeatedly of their supernatural discernment, their insight, and their wisdom, and their knowledge, each one believing that the God of all wisdom will graciously bestow upon them the same wisdom. The historical records of ages, of the ages, share this one simple truth. God's people have always amazed other people with their wisdom and their knowledge and their insight. Even today, some of the greatest inventions and discoveries of medicine and science are coming from Abraham's descendants, the Jewish people. Some in the world have tried to label them arrogant and pride. I don't believe that's true of most. Because down in the deepest part of their DNA, they simply believe that God wants the best for their lives. That God wants to bestow upon them blessings in the areas of intelligence and wisdom and insight. Listen now, what God did for the ancient Jew, He has promised to do for all of those who repent and are born again and allow the Holy Spirit to infill their hearts and their lives. Therefore, grafting us in to the family of Abraham. When we allow the Holy Ghost to infill us with Himself, we are in fact then, watch this, taking in all the wisdom and all the power and all the strength and all the love and all the mercy and all the grace of all ages. We are connecting ourselves with the one who is our Creator and our Savior, our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So one of the lies then that the devil has done his best is to perpetuate in our world today so that the church is not as smart as the world, that Christians are not as smart as non-Christians, that if we follow God, then we'll become some kind of mindless automation that has no will of our own. Hear me now, that is the farthest from the truth. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The reality is this, according to the whole Bible, from Adam all the way down through the ages till Christ returns. Watch this now. When we allow God to save us and redeem us and create in us His creation, His new creation, that puts us into the position where we are then able to receive His wisdom and His knowledge and His discernment and His insight, allowing us then to navigate in an upside down world. That's something to shout about. Amen. That's something to be happy about. And so this morning, listen, the best way we can learn how to live in this ever-changing, upside-down world is to saturate ourselves with God's Word. Saturate ourselves in prayer and in daily fellowship with God and with one another. That's why it's so important when the doors are open that we're all gathered together with God's people. I need to hear testimonies of what has happened in your life this last week, where it'll take me into the next week, walking in victory, not believing the Lord's, the devil's lies. We need each other. Don't you allow the devil to keep you out of gathering together. Every time the doors open, bless God. Woo! That was free. Amen. The best way we can live is how these four young men lived. Don't let the people label you. Allow God to remind you of who you are. And that is that you're anointed, you're blessed, you're favored, you're gifted, you're holy, you're loved. You're God's masterpiece. You're redeemed. You're sanctified. You're triumphant. And you're victorious every day of your life. We're God's ambassador. We are citizens of heaven and God's most wonderful creation. And don't you forget it. You've been appointed. You've been anointed. And you've been approved by Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're filled with His Spirit, and your body is God's temple. And you've been given the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what my Bible says. And guess what? It means what it says, and it says what it means. And yes, people's words do bite, and they do sting, and they do try and kill. But we have the greater one living in us. Let's determine from this day forward, determine anew to live by God's principles, live by His rules. Let the Holy Ghost lead you on a daily basis. Allow God to be the Lord over your gateways of your heart and your mind and your soul. God, you got to help me this morning. I'm going to come back with you at noontime. You got to help me through the morning time. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. So, Lord, I'm going to come back to you at noontime. And I'm going to say, Lord, you made it. I made it through this morning. I was victorious. So, God, you got to help me through the evening time. Lord, I made it to the evening. My head's on my pillow. I'm about to go to sleep. Lord, keep your hand upon me. I want those dreams and visions. Download into me what I need to do. You see what tomorrow holds. Let the Holy Ghost lead you on a daily basis, if not hourly basis. So can we really believe in the impossible? Yes, we can. Can we believe that the God who made us and saved us and infilled us will each day then give us insight and discernment and knowledge and wisdom and favor and blessings? Yes, we can. Then if we do, let's also believe and live and trust that the God who loves us and died for us, now lives inside of us, is going to help us live the best life possible. Right now, right here on God's earth. You see, in the midst of having their lives being turned upside down, these four young men engaged their world. They transformed their world. In the midst of having all the pressures of the world to do its best to mold them and conform them to its image, they resisted. I said they resisted.
Amen.
They resisted.
Yes.
Resist the devil. Submit to God.
Yes.
See what he'll do. They resisted and they became the best that God could make them. And when God got finished up with them, they were smarter. Watch this. They were better looking. I'm going to take that one. Praise God. They were healthier and they were ready to do more for the world and for God. The Bible says 10 times over what others were able to do. I already feel better looking already. Doesn't matter all the wrinkles and the moles and all of that. No hair. I'm going to stop right there. This morning, let me just ask, how goes it in our world? How goes it in our world? Are we allowing God then to label us instead of the world? Are we doing our best then to live by His principles than the principles of the world? Don't let luck and coincidence be part of your speech. We go by His favor and His blessings. Well, I wish you good luck today going to the dentist. No! Ask for His protection and His blessings. That you're going to go in there. It's not going to cost as much as they thought they were going to charge you. Thank Him for the discounts. Thank Him for the parking space closer to the front door. Well, it's just you just had some good luck in that. No, you're a child of the Most High God. You're walking in His favor. You're walking in His blessings. Amen. Let's believe then in the impossible. And let's believe then that God will give us the power and the wisdom and the insight to live an amazing life. And then become a people of God who reflect His image, His glory, and His honor so we can carry out His purpose in our lives from this day going forward. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. If you'll put some music on. Harabashatarabahasata. Hondorabasatabahashata. The Lord God is here right now. His presence is in this house. And He's ready to do for you like no other can do. Let me ask you, what are you needing today? What are you needing today? You might have been touched during the praise and worship. But I'm telling you, God is here. His presence is here right now to do for you for whatever you're needing today. Brennan and Amber, would you come down? Tony and Becky, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother and Sister Wallace, come on down. Our ministry team, thank you, Jesus. God's going to finish up. He's going to do something here. He's ready. Don't leave yet. Don't leave. Almighty God is here. What are you needing today? Are you needing a renewing of your mind today? Are you not sure about your salvation? Are you saved today? If you're not sure of your salvation, if you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, today would be a great day for that to happen. What are you needing in your life? Are you needing healing in your body, in your finances, in relationships? What are you needing? Do you have a child or grandchild you want to stand in for today? The altars are open right here. Father, do Your work today in our heart. Oh, we praise You. We have found out through Your word that You promised to be with us every step of the way and that our lights can shine in a dark world, not accepting the values of the world, not going by what they say, but what you say. And so, Lord, I thank you today for this body of people. I thank you that you have entrusted us with your Spirit, and you've brought us together for such a time as this. Help us to be a light in a dark world, into this community. You've placed us right here in the middle of Alvareda. And so, Lord, I thank you. Lord, as cars drive by, let them feel a pull. Let them feel and know that your Spirit is drawing them to a deeper place and a higher place in you. And if they don't know you, that they can come to know you, and they'll feel drawn to turn around and just come to this house. Lord, I thank you that you've got places where your presence abides all over the world, all over this state, all in this county. There's more. There's more than one or two. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you've put us here. Do your work in our lives. Do your work in our lives. And we praise you today. We thank you today. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. Whatever you've been through this very week, God will touch you. He can heal your mind. Take those things that have been tormenting you. We will agree with you, and we will pray for you that those things be broken off of you this very day, this very hour. You won't have to leave this place the same way that you came in those doors. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. He's working right now. Would you just close your eyes right where you're at, right where you're standing? The Holy Ghost is here. He's doing a work in you. He's doing a work. Those that are in pain in their body, and you came today determined that you were going to receive something. But everything about your body is going crazy. Listen, His Spirit, right now, I speak a supernatural healing to come to your body right now, to come to your mind. I thank you for a peace of mind. Lord, I thank you for a Holy Ghost mind in the hearts and the lives of your children here today. Touch our lives. Renew us in the Holy Ghost. He's here to do a work. He's here to do a work in Jesus' name. He's here to do a work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Brandon, right here, would you pray? In Jesus' name. Right now. I thank you, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God. He's doing a work. He's doing a work. Let those chains be broken off of your mind right now. Hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but with me, would you just take your hands? Let's just break those things off. Break those things. In Jesus' name, Lord, I break them off of me. You see those things holding me back. I break those chains off of me right now. Every bit of the doubt, every bit of the unbelief, every bit of the depression, chains of depression, chains of worry, chains of anxiety, I break them off in Jesus' name right now. Lord, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for wisdom and insight in my life. I thank you that your Spirit dwells in me. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you that you've positioned me to live the best life that I can be through you, through your glory, through your strength, through your leading, through your guiding, God. Oh, I thank you today. I thank you for every young person in this house today. Lord, put into their hearts what they need for this next week. And to every adult in this house, every man, every woman, put into their hearts today what they're going to need for this coming week. You see what they're needing. You see what they're going to face. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But right now, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to make things right in my heart. I'm not promised another day. I'm not promised another hour. I don't know what this afternoon holds. I don't know what's going to happen on my way home. But Lord, I thank you that I'm in your hands and under your wings, and that you promise to be with us no matter what comes our way. I thank you for healing in our bodies. I thank you for new knees. I thank you for new muscles and new bones. Strong bones. Strong lungs. Healthy organs. Livers and heart. And bladders. Everything to come into alignment as you created all the glands, thyroid glands, everything to come into alignment. Touch our brain cells, Lord. Strengthen us today. Touch our mind. We don't have to live a life of forgetfulness. We can be strong in our minds. Thank you, God. We close the door to the enemy right now. Every door that we have opened to the enemy, knowingly or unknowingly, we close that door. Would you just say that? I close that door that the enemy would try to come in into my life. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Let's worship the Lord with a hand clap as we close today. You go from this house today expecting great and mighty things. Why? Because you're a king's kid. And guess what? The king has his pockets open. Like grandpa and grandma do. Like mamas and daddies do. Sometimes they go to daddy because they know mama's a little more. Well, honey, we need to.